In the gospel reading today, we hear about this pagan centurion who comes to our blessed Lord, asks that he would heal his servant. When the Lord says that he would come, the man simply says, "No, no, you don't need to come. Just say the word." Now we look at it in Scripture and we read that God spoke and it came to be. When he created everything, go back to the first chapter of Genesis. It just simply said, God said, let there be light. There was light. God said, over and over and over again. He simply spoke, and it happened. And that's exactly the point that this man understood. Jesus didn't need to come and lay his hands on the servant. All he had to do is speak, because his word has authority. But the tragic statement at the end of the gospel is the one that we need to look at, because it isn't true just for the people in Israel. It's true for most of us as well. And so the Lord said, "Amen, I say to you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith." Do we really believe in the power of the Lord's word? Do we really believe in the power of the Lord's name? We heard in the first reading that the days will come when the mountain of the Lord's house will be established as the highest mountains, and all the nations will stream toward it, looking for instruction. That mountain of the Lord's house is the Lord Jesus himself. For any Jewish person reading that, they would assume that we're talking about Jerusalem and being up in the mountains and the temple of the Lord being up on top of the mountain. Go back to the prophet Daniel, however, and you recognize that there is a different mountain that is being spoken of. And when you read the gospel, and Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it," and he was speaking of the temple of his body, not the temple made out of stone. And so the mountain spoken in Daniel is Jesus. The temple is Jesus. The God in the temple is Jesus. All that becomes critical, because if we are going to climb the Lord's mountain to seek instruction, the question is, are we going to listen to it? Are we going to believe it? Remember when Naaman the Syrian came to the prophet Elisha? He said, "Just go and put yourself in the river 7 times. And he got all angry. He said, "Look, if the prophet told you to do something extraordinary, you would have done it. But this is all he's asking you. Do you really believe that the word of God has power?" We'll all look at it and go, "Well, yeah, I mean, he created everything. He could do whatever he wants." True, he can. Believe he's got power in your life? Well, I mean, you know, if he wants, he could, but... No. There is no but. He either has power or he doesn't. And if he doesn't have power in our lives, it's because we are putting something in the way so that he doesn't have it. Because he's not going to force us against our will. If we truly believed, we would see extraordinary things. But we don't. The tragedy for our Lord to say, "Never have I found such faith in Israel." These are the people chosen by God. They had his word. They knew what the truth was. There wasn't a problem with that, just like the Catholics, as I keep telling you. We know what the truth is. We've got the fullness of truth. There isn't an issue with the truth. There is an issue not with the objective truths of the faith, but with the subjective aspect of putting it into practice. But as I have told you numerous times, when you stand before the Lord on the day of judgment, it is not going to be a catechism test. It is going to be about how you took the truth that you've got in your mind and got it into your heart and put it into practice. It is about the love of God and the love of neighbor, which is all based on the truth. So it's not like we don't need to know the catechism. We do. But we need to put it into practice. Part of that is recognizing the power of the Word of God and truly believing in it. That sounds easy to do. It is not. I can tell you that from my own experience. The first time that I did a deliverance on somebody and looked at this individual literally writhing around on the floor like a snake, and I'm sitting there looking at this person and going, I have no idea what to do. And it's like, idiot, commanded in the name of Jesus. And it's like, oh yeah. But do you really believe that it's going to work? Because do you really believe that there's power in the name of the Lord? We have everything in Scripture. We have the lives of the saints. Again, I can tell you, there was some projects I was working on a few summers ago. Seven times during that summer, I got bit by bees. Each time, I swelled up a little further. I don't get, you know, choked off or anything, but it was getting worse and worse every time. I thought, if this continues, I'm going to be in trouble. And it's like, well, why don't you just command the bees in the name of Jesus to not bite you? It's like, oh yeah, they operate by nature, of course. So I climbed up to that same spot, and I commanded the bees. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you. And the bees flew all around me while I banged and pounded and did what all the other things I was doing. And not one of them ever bit me. Whereas before that, it was a matter of seconds. And I didn't just do that once. I did it numerous times because it was a necessity. And they obeyed. Because they have to. But also because I actually finally decided that maybe this is real. Trust. You said, and therefore they will do it if you believe. So again, it seems so obvious. Until you're there and all of a sudden you got these bees zipping all around you. It's like, do I really believe? Should I get down from the ladder? Should I do something different? It's like, no, idiot. You told them in the name of Jesus, just trust, would you? So what seems like it shouldn't be such a big deal is a lot more difficult, at least for somebody as dense as me, to be able to put into practice. So I present that to you to be able to say, put it into your own situation and ask yourself, do I have that faith? I know in my head Jesus is God and he can do anything he wants. He is the mountain. He is the temple. He is the Lord. I am willing to climb that mountain to find instruction. And then when he tells me, am I really willing to trust it, to do it? To believe it? Or are we like that guy in the joke who falls off the cliff and grabs onto a branch and realizing that there's nothing other than the ground below him, cries out and says, anyone up there? And God says, yes. He said, help. He said, let go. He goes, anyone else up there? You know, we don't trust him. We don't believe him. So when he tells us to do something, are we willing to do it? all of us, I suspect, are going to immediately say, of course I'll do whatever he asks me to do. Well, he asks us to believe. Yeah, then it's a little more difficult. What should seem so simple is very difficult for us as human beings. So, great way to begin our Advent, to be able to look at that and say, the Lord spoke. He said that he was going to send his son. He said he's going to come through a woman. He said he's going to be a baby. He said all these things. We believe that because we know. But God said a whole bunch of other things too. That is impossible on the natural level, what he said was going to happen. A virgin is going to have a baby. But the angel said, all things are possible for God. And Jesus said, all things are possible for those who believe. So if we're not seeing it, it's not because it's God's fault. It's not because he hasn't told us. It's usually because never in anyone in Israel have I found such faith. And I suspect that he would be able to say the same thing today if he were standing in front of us. Thankfully, we have a number of saints, so he's found that faith in a number of them. So at least he'd be able to say in most people in the Catholic Church, never have I found such faith.